Let's bow our heads, shall we, and have a word of prayer as we come to look at this psalm together. We've just read, your word is truth. May it be truth to us today, Lord, not only in the way that we live our lives, but truth in as much as the promises that you make to us. You will keep. So we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was really encouraged, Ben, by what you said. And my experience on mission is that the Lord seems to give you a yearning in your heart that people will come back. And it really does rest on you. So let's try and remember this Michael in our prayers. Okay. While Francis has been away, we've been looking at some of these Psalms of Ascent, and this morning, the final one, certainly for this year anyway, is Psalm 125. And just like the pilgrims of this psalm, we too are pilgrims heading for Jerusalem. For us, our destination is, of course, the New Jerusalem, promised in the book of Revelation on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Exodus chapter 24 instructed God's people to make three yearly compulsory journeys, the men. Sometimes whole families met up on the road. Their lives were bound together. And from these Psalms of Ascent, numbers 120 to 134, they're so called because I understand, I've not been there, but all roads lead upwards. Whichever direction you come to Jerusalem, it's uphill. Hence Psalms of Ascent. And we can see, and I hope you've been able to see as we've looked at these psalms, that their experiences in the ups and downs of their lives reflected in these songs, for that's what they are, they sang them on the road. Our experiences of life, our ups and downs, are much similar to theirs. I've mentioned before Eugene Peterson's work. He paraphrased the entire Bible, and he called it The Message. And he called these psalms, and I love this, long obedience in the same direction. You will be pleased to hear that this is not intended as a recipe for stoical spiritual drudgery, quite the contrary. And it is a phrase that Peterson borrowed from the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, "The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be long obedience in the same direction, resulting in the long run something which has made life worth living." That's interesting. And we might prefer to speak of someone who has made life worth living. And that someone, of course, is our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, Psalm 125, which I have called the joy, the song of the joy of our security. And I got to thinking about security. And I wondered to myself, I wonder who is the most secure person on earth? And you might have your own ideas about that. But amongst them, I think, of course, would be the President of the United States of America. Now, when he's on the road, he travels in an armored car that's called the Beast. And the latest, I understand, 2018 model is a custom-built Cadillac, commissioned and controlled by the Secret Service. It cost $1.5 million. It has 5-inch bulletproof glass and weighs about 9 tons. And the Secret Service driver is highly trained. And should all this fail, of course, there is a huge backup convoy. And when a car is deemed redundant, it's decommissioned, dismantled, and disposed of by the Secret Service. Now, that's what I call protection. But of course, the president, from time to time, has to step out of the car, that secure car, into the world. So verses 1 and 2, let's have a look down at this psalm. I've called this these verses the security of home. On the inside of the service sheet, there's a little kind of plan on where we're going with this. So verses 1 and 2, Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. So, if you don't mind me asking, let me ask you a personal question. Where is your security this morning? These Psalms of Ascent have a healthy realism to them. They reflect life on the pilgrim journey to Jerusalem. But for us as God's people living in this world today, this world is not our home. If Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, you will have experienced what the writer to the Hebrews said of believers: you have already come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. And if you like, that's a taste of things to come. If you trust in the Lord Jesus, then you are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever in the New Jerusalem. As the mountains surround Jerusalem like a protective fortress, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Now, when you think of the security of the big beast, and you think of this kind of security, there's nothing like this security. But yet, we will not be spared the trials and tribulations of life here on earth. We won't be protected from them, but we will be protected through them. That's the promise. Sickness and death, bereavement, persecution, and even hatred because of our faith in Jesus. So as Christians, we live in enemy territory here on earth. And one of my theological college tutors many, many years ago liked to remind his students, and I can see him standing there now, he's a Welshman, and he used to say, I can't do a Welsh accent, but how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. And then he used to say, but only in a believer's ear. And I think he was right. So then, if the name of Jesus is a sweet sound in your ear this morning, remember this, and we were thinking about this last week, nothing, nothing at all can separate you from the love of Christ in this world and the world to come. Romans chapter 8. So picture the pilgrims of this psalm singing together as they journeyed. They encouraged each other to be confident and secure as God's people. So that's the first two verses, the security of home. Now have a look down at verse 3. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Now, the scepter here in this psalm, and for us today, is the temporary rule of wickedness in the world. And the Hebrew of the Old Testament here, in respect of wickedness, is broadly applied as wrongdoers, the wrongdoers of this world. But it also, interestingly, could well include the mischief makers of this world. And we need to be reminded in the scriptures that this rule, this scepter, is temporary. What we need is patient faith in that though evil crouches near, as the old song used to say, the rule of wickedness will come to an end. Meanwhile, of course, the wicked of our time appear to continue to prosper, and I guess they will. And where their actions, the actions of the wrongdoers, impinge on our lives, we need to hold fast to the security of the promises in the scriptures. Now, this is a tricky area. Verse 3, don't be tempted to join the enemy. We should not view those who cross our path as potential enemies. We are wise to take note that Jesus warns us, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. That's Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, which in practice means that people are likely to see things differently from us, and we should guard against self-righteousness. So let's keep on keeping on in faith. Let us be people that apply long obedience in the same direction. We are heading for Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, but it's often hard to keep going when compromise seems to be the only way to peace, and our patience for the Lord's answer to a problem sometimes will run out. Perhaps some of our closest relationships are with people who do not share our commitment, your commitment, to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's certainly true in my life and the closest relationships that I have. Our commitment to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord presents many a challenge in this world. Now, you don't need me to tell you that. It is a challenge to live as a follower of Jesus Christ in today's world. And in the weariness of these situations, how quickly we are tempted to look elsewhere for another answer, another solution, another security. It's always best and the safest route to acknowledge that the Lord knows what he is doing in our lives. And you and I have the opportunity day by day to prove the truth of that. We might well have to endure bad government inside and outside the church, but the authorities have been established by God, and according to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, we should obey them. We should obey the authorities. We might well feel pushed to the limit at times, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that it won't be past what we can bear. That's a good promise to have, to take hold of. So don't be tempted to join the enemy. As these things can be a challenge at times, don't join the enemy, and don't choose to join the crooked pathway. And sometimes people do that. You might know of Christians who have walked away from the truth of God's word that no longer come and worship with us. They have chosen to made a decision to choose the crooked pathway. That's why our fellowship is so important, to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. And not only here on a Sunday, but as my usual plug goes out, on Friday mornings too, at our hub. But take heart, the King James Version, be of good cheer, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Now that is an amazing statement, you know, isn't it? When you stop and think of it, I have overcome the world. So let's have a look briefly at verses 4 and 5. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. I don't know whether you've ever thought this, but prayer expresses our confidence in God. If you pray, then you are showing confidence that God hears and answers prayer. And we have a very good prayer here in this psalm. And this is what we should be praying for each other day by day. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and upright. That's a blessing, to bring a blessing of God to those who do good. And trusting again that it will be the Lord who will deal with evildoers. Not our place necessarily to deal with evildoers. The Lord will do that. And he will banish them. That's what he says. And then peace be upon Israel at the very end. Of course, the temple eventually was destroyed. But looking past this now, let's look to the New Jerusalem. We are praying for the present and ongoing into the future. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it has these dimensions. I don't know whether you've noticed that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our needs provided day by day because we ask for them. Forgiveness for our debts as we forgive others their debts. In times of temptation, to be delivered from the work and the presence of the evil one. Let Jesus have the final word. His prayer to his heavenly Father. It was for his disciples and comes down to us today from our reading from John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you will protect them from the evil one. So then, this song of joy is our song of security. And our lives are able to witness to the faithfulness of Jesus' promise. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to place our lives securely in your hands. To do that afresh. Not to look to the world for our security, but to look to you, Lord Jesus, and your promises to us. Help us to be out there in the world, and help us to know that you will protect us from the evil one. Thank you for your word to us this morning, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name.